Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening around the world over the internet. We're still talking about various sorts of resurrection. This is the resurrection season. And so we're talking about resurrection. And in our time together now, no matter where you are, we're going to be talking about destiny resurrected. Your destiny, my destiny, the destiny of the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 41, if you want to get your Bibles. Genesis chapter 41, verses 39 through 46. So beginning there in verse 39 of Genesis 41. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my place, my palace, rather, I'm sorry, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. The men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word no one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanethah-Pentha, and gave him Asentha, daughter of Potipherah, priestess of On, but his wife to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. What a story when you think that here is this Joseph who only the day before, only just a few hours before, was imprisoned, seeming to have no hope. Except that, in prison, he became second only to the jailer. And before that, when he was in Potiphar's house, he became second only to Potiphar. There must have been something happening here with Joseph, because now he is the prime minister of the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. You know, did you ever wonder what has been determined for you in destiny? So what is destiny? Well, destiny is a predetermined course of events often held to be irresistible in power or agency. Well, Joseph had a destiny, and you and I have a destiny as well. What was determined by God when He created you for your function to be? What was God's desire regarding you? Will you fulfill God's destiny for you, or will you fulfill your destiny for you? Is your destiny for you the same as the destiny God created for you to fulfill? Until we understand that each of us has a destiny, these are questions that will really never be answered to us. Because if we're trying to find our own destiny, we may spend a whole lifetime groping, but never arriving at our destiny. Because our destiny is set in God Himself. He has a plan for each of us. He's given each of us talents, abilities, and gifts that He wants us to utilize in the building of His kingdom. Bearing in mind that sin is defined as missing the mark or the target set by God, I would think that was something we would not want to do. We would want to hit the target. We would not only not want to hit the target, but we would want to be in the bullseye of the target that God has set for us, for our destiny. God's target is a target which God places as a relationship with Him. So God's target is, first of all, a relationship with Him. God sets the requirements for this target. He sets the requirements for the relationship because He is God. We do not set the target for that relationship. We do not set it. We go with His because He is God and we are not. A person's relationship to God is determined by the decision to focus on the target set by God and only by God. What am I saying there? I'm saying that if you want to reach all that God has for you in life, it requires that you and I decide that we're going to focus on His target for our life. That we're going to focus on what He has set for us and only what He has set for us. Because, my friend, I will tell you something. If we do something other than that, we have put ourselves in the place of God in our own life. We must let God be God, and then we must be what we were created to be. We must fulfill our destiny. Many times, God's target is viewed as attempting to live a life constraining. And a life that is so tightly bowed up in a person. That's not really what God's after. Or we look at life as something that contains as little sin or mark missing as it can, you know, as we can achieve on our own. Well, that's not it either. You see, because if we're not careful, we will accept the grace of God and say, oh, we know that God's grace was freely given to us. But then we will behave as though we have to work our way into the goodness of God for our heavenly reward in order to spend eternity with Him. No, you see, our eternity is brought into being with God through what Christ did, through His death, burial, and His resurrection. That's where we are with that. And I see so many people struggling in their lives, trying to be as good as they can so that they can achieve heaven, rather than really focusing on, why does God still have me here once I accepted Christ? Why didn't I just get zapped out into heaven someplace? Missing the mark. That's what we do every time we look to ourselves for everything that happens in our life. We are to focus on Christ and Christ alone. We must know what God wants for us. This is hitting the bullseye of the target. I've seen so many people work themselves into such a condemned state of living as Christians because all they look at is how good and pure they can be, not how pure Christ has made them in relationship to God so that they can relate to God. You see, you and I will never absolutely be perfect even after having accepted Christ, but the Christ's blood covers us so that we're never going to have to face punishment for those things that we've done that have missed the mark. But this idea of having to keep it earned, this view, unfortunately, is salvation by works, even though people say they've accepted it by grace. See, God expects and desires us to understand and receive and walk in salvation by His grace. That is His gift. And to do anything else is to reject His gift, His grace. When a person decides they will simply be a moral person, as God determines right from wrong, they have in fact said, usually without realizing it, that they do not need the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which is God's plan. And they step over into their own plan, not realizing it. I mean, they may mean well, but they are missing the mark. They're missing the target. That's what sin is. If asked, they will often repeat that they know salvation is a gift from God. It is not due to their behavior as a moral person. Salvation by works. They know this, but their behavior doesn't demonstrate this. As a result, there's no joy in their life. Their life is a life of stern, being beaten down and oppressed by seeing continually their own shortcomings. Rather than growing, they find themselves just trying not to slip back. As long as you're trying not to slip back, you're not going to grow. You will not be adding to, you will actually be taking away. Because nobody can just stay at a single point. You're either moving forward or you're slipping backward. The sad thing about this view that moral living alone is serving God is that the person is deceived into believing moral living is service. Let me say that again. The sad thing about this view that moral living alone is serving God is that the person is deceived. Deceived, you see. Who would want to deceive you? Satan. Deceived into believing moral living is service. Not getting involved in gross sin is not a service to God. It is the desire of God, but it is not service to God. And many, many, many people who claim Christ as their Lord and Savior really believe that as long as they are quote-unquote good, they're serving God. We're serving God when we are doing what God has said we are to do. That's when we're serving God. First of all, living by God's standards cannot be even come close. It can't even come close to the mark God has set for anyone. Coming to God's target can only be achieved by allowing the Spirit of God to be in a person to guide and correct one toward, you and I, toward the target as set forth by God Himself. This, then, is a God-centered life where the course is divinely directed. This is a God-centered life. And God directs our course. No human option is directing it. But it is God who directs us toward holiness. And holiness is service, and it's very important to understand that. The allowing and the doing of this Holy Spirit guidance, then, will lead to true holiness, which is both moral living and moral service through the development of the gifts which God has given severally as He wills. Now, what does that say? That is saying that you must stay in tune with God, seeking God, looking to God, letting Him direct you. That will bring about in your life moral living in holiness. That's true holiness, as well as moral service, which is true holiness. Faith without works is dead. So if you want to live a moral life, you must live a moral life of service. And the way you do that is you look to God first. You do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge God, and He then will direct your path. He'll do it as He wills, not as you or I will, but as He wills. Unless, of course, you and I, our will is to do His will. That is holiness. That is a big part of holiness. not only in our thoughts and our deeds, but in our service. And our service is to build up the most holy gifts that have been given to us within us and using them for the furthering of God's kingdom. So there is a resurrecting destiny in our lives. God's blessings overtake the believer as the believer operates, not vegetates. Operating in the will of God, not vegetating. You cannot vegetate in the will of God. You can only operate in the will of God. The believer can miss the mark completely by pride of and in their own works unless they live a spirit-filled and spirit-driven life. The spirit-filled and driven life is one that is characterized by appropriate actions out of guidance by the Holy Spirit and the Word. Now, hear me now, the Holy Spirit and the Word. The reason for that is you must have the Word in there to give you the balance so you're not chasing down some path that you think is the Holy Spirit directing you. It must line up with Scripture. Otherwise, without testing the spirits, you might find yourself completely off track and not know it. But when you learn to hear the Holy Spirit and you learn to mesh that with the Word, this will show and operate in a new life of Christ in you. It is only through God and His targeted service that the person may experience the resurrecting of their life's destiny, which comes in two parts. Now, I'll talk about those two parts in just a minute. But you must resurrect. If you're not comfortable, if you don't know that you know in your knower, that you are going on the path that God has directed through His Holy Spirit and the Word, if it does not line up with that, then you need to resurrect your destiny. Because I will tell you, your destiny will turn out to be far more than you could ever ask or think when you're operating in the will of God. If when you're faced with a problem, the first thing you say is, "How am I going to deal with this?" you just missed God. Because the thing to say is, it is going to be such a joy to watch God deal with this and guide me through it. That's the way it works. So, as I said, life's destiny comes in two parts. The first is the set destiny in this life being fulfilled, whatever that destiny is being fulfilled, which enables part two. Part two is what people are always looking to, missing part one. They go straight into part two, and they think that's their destiny, that destiny in eternity, and doing the eternal things with God, whether it's whatever they, you know, we have a lot of misconceptions of heaven in our time with God, but people tend to miss this life because they're so busy looking at the next lives. Well, the next life is tied into this life that we have right now. You must seek God through prayer, through fasting, through time with Him, through time in the Word, through time listening to Him, allowing Him to direct your paths, leaning not to your own understanding. Can you see where if you're challenged by something, you say, "What am I going to do?" You've just started leaning to your own understanding. And you're not in any way acknowledging Him. Most people in their lives get into various sorts of problems, and then they go to God. Rather than staying with God on the path and saying, "Okay, this is coming up. What do you want to do? How are you going to handle it? What is my involvement to be? Where am I to go?" We know that if we seek first His kingdom, then all the things are added to us. And most people spend their whole life focused on the things. And if they have time, they'll try to do a little work for the kingdom. No, we do the kingdom work. We do those things that we understand are the joint destiny of all believers who are a part of the body of Christ. We do those things. He takes care of the other things that most people spend their time. If you're spending your time worrying about and fretting over all the same things that unbelievers are, where's the Christianity? Where is the belief in your life? If you and I are no different than the unbeliever in how, in our thought life, in our trying to figure things out life, in all of these kinds of things, what differentiates us? How are we different from them? Well, if we're not different from them, then we've got to ask ourselves a question. And that question is, where did I miss my destiny? We need to go to the throne then and say, I've gotten off the line to the target. I need help. You see, God never turns down a person who will come to him humbly and say, this is the situation. But if we just jump in and we try to fix it all, be in control of it all, and then when it all goes, you know, and comes apart on us, if that's the only time we go to God, we are definitely missing God. But at those times is when everybody sort of shakes their fist and says, God, you got to do something now. Where he would have just been guiding every little step. How many of you really believe that if he's guiding your steps, that he would guide you to step over a cliff? I think he wouldn't. There's nothing in Scripture to say he would. Because he loves us. We're a part of his body. Who of you would want to just grab an axe and cut off a part of your body? A leg, an arm, a hand, or whatever. You wouldn't do that. He doesn't want to cut you off. He wants to fulfill you. He wants the blood of Christ to flow through his body, giving it life. Letting it breathe. Letting it grow. Letting his body do his will and fulfilling the destiny that he has for each of us. As a part of his whole complete body without spot or wrinkle. That's what God wants. That's what God is looking to. I'll tell you, my friends, many of us, either corporately and or individually, need to reconnect with our destiny. We need to resurrect the destiny that God has for us inside ourselves. He will do it. He always says, in his word, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Our destiny is in his hands, even if we try to take it out of him. It's so much easier. Do you not remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road and Jesus encountered him? And he told him how hard it was to kick against all the goads and all of these sort of things when he could simply get in the yoke of Christ and let Christ be with him. And to guide him, what did he do? He instantaneously, this is a man whose heart was 100% for God, and his behavior was 100% against God. But his heart, which is the thing that God looks upon, was right. And the instant he encountered the Savior, he said, Lord, what would you have me do? That's what we must learn to do in everything. Now, why did I tell you that story? I told you that story because I'm telling you, even if your behaviors are completely out of the will of God, if your heart is for God, then let him guide your behavior and watch how quickly things will fall into place. Look how quickly things fell into place for Saul, who then became Paul and became this mighty apostle. What wonderful things we hear and read about that Paul did. And when we read two-thirds of the New Testament, we're reading the words of Paul. His destiny. I ask you, what do you think your destiny is that God has laid out for you? And then let me ask you another question. Are you in that destiny? Or are you in your own destiny? One of the ways to find out is to say to yourself, do I think the way all the people around me think who have never accepted Christ? What's the difference between how I approach life and they approach life? That, my friend, will give you a good indication of where you are in walking in your destiny or stumbling outside of it. So, if you find yourself stumbling outside of it, what do you do? If you find yourself walking in it, what do you do? Well, if you find yourself walking in it, that's something to be praising God for, isn't it? That's something to be thankful that you know that you have had enough understanding to seek Him first and let Him take care of all of those things that the world worries about, that the world frets over. And now, if you've never done that and you're not in that path and you're not in that destiny, then what would you need to do? I guess you'd need to change something, wouldn't you? If you were once in it and you stepped out of it, then you would need to go to the throne and say, I want back in it. I'm sorry. I want back in my destiny. Because I know you have a destiny for every person, and I trust you with my destiny. If you've never been in it, you'd want to do the same thing. I'm sorry. I've been out of my destiny. You created me in the womb, and you knew the plans that you had for me. And I haven't walked in them. So go to the throne and say, Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I want Jesus in my heart continually. I want to follow the destiny that you have for me. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to be in your divine kingdom, doing your divine destiny. Resurrect your destiny in me. In Jesus' name, amen. See, if you pray that prayer and you've never been in, you're in now. As a matter of fact, for some people, that may be the greatest time they've ever been in the destiny of God, is simply when they accept Christ. And if you have accepted Christ before and you say, I realize that, and now I prayed that prayer with you, then you're back on the path, my friend. Oh, to be sure, you might need some help along that line. And this is the thing to do. Get into the Word. Get back into the book of John and the book of Acts. Remind yourself of what the Savior did as He was walking this earth, and remind yourself of what He did through men in the early church from the book of Acts. You can also contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. Send me an email. Or you can contact me on Skype, The Sojourner 3734. We want to help you. We want to work with you. We'll do anything we can to help you walk in the destiny, to help you find your destiny, to help you live in your destiny, to help you be in your destiny. Well, my friend, I hope this has caused you to think. I hope you've gotten some comfort from this. I hope this has given you perhaps some answers on what your life means and how to find out what it means and where all of it's coming from and where all of it's going, or at least the beginning to learn about that. As I said, feel free to contact us. We'll be happy to work with you. So I'm going to leave you now with this blessing. So until we get together again, I want you to remember that we love you and the Lord loves you. And I want to say to you the blessings of our Lord on you, the total blessing of our Lord on you, and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.